Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we're so thankful and so grateful for your goodness and for your mercy, for your kindness, Father, for your compassion, for the fact, Father, that you gave us your word so we wouldn't have to stumble or wander around in this life, but Father, so we could be blessed and go to all the destinations that you want to take us to, Father. Things like healing and prosperity and joy and victory. And we're just so thankful and so grateful, Father, for your word. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've demonstrated to us with your love and compassion. And we thank you. Help me to speak as the oracles of God this morning. Father, people need to hear from you, not me. And so we thank you, Lord, that bullseyes will be hit in people's heart through the preaching and teaching of the word. Lord, whatever you need to do, do it. Whatever needs to be said, say it. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, 1 Corinthians 13. And then if you want to, you can also hold your place over in Galatians chapter 5. We'll go there in a second. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 1, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, this when you see that word charity in the New Testament, that's the word agape, which is when the Bible says God is love, it's God is agape, that's the word love. So it says, he said, with the tongues of men and angels, but if I don't have love, he says, I've become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, if I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. So Paul, in those verses, was emphasizing love. In Galatians 5 and verse 6, he says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith. Well, we're a faith church. Amen. We know that our lives will rise and fall on our faith or lack thereof, right? Because the Bible says that the victory that overcomes the world is your faith. The Bible says that you'll receive the promises of God through your faith. The Bible says you'll please God through your faith. The Bible says you'll quench the fiery darts of the wicked one by your faith, by your shield. And so faith is important. But Paul said this, he said, faith which worketh, the Amplified says, which is activated and energized and expressed through love. Now, if we're going to be a faith church, you can't be a faith church and not talk about the subject of walking in love. Because without love, faith, like Paul said, I can have faith to remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And so it's important that we guard our love walk. Amen? It's important that we guard our love walk because in doing so, you guard your faith life. Amen? You guard your faith life when you guard your love walk because the Bible says that faith, which that word faith, there's so much in that word. Let me just say this to you if you're newer with us, if you're brand new with us, newer, if you've been here for a while, faith can absolutely change your world. It can turn poverty into prosperity. I've seen it. It can turn sickness into health. It can turn despair into an encouragement and hope. It can take the darkest of situations, the most impossible of situations, and turn it out for your better. The force of faith is awesome. It is an unbelievable force that God has given us, and we are so blessed to have it. But the Bible says that word, that force, worketh or is activated and energized by love. I remember, this was a couple years ago, I was coming back. There's two different places we hunt in Ohio. One's about 3 hours away, one's about 5 hours away. And the one that's about 5 hours away is actually a little bit better. We don't get to hunt that as much, but they have a little camper on there that's powered by a generator, and it brings heat to the camper and electricity. And I was coming back one day. It was really cold, not feeling too well. I wanted to take a nap midday and go back out, and I got back to the trailer, and I opened the door, and I could see my breath. Well, I realized that the heat must not be working. I couldn't figure out what in the world's going on. So I went outside, and there's the generator. I said, "That's got a generator." Well, I didn't hear it running. Went over to it and looked in, and it needed gas. It was empty. Well, faith is like a generator. What can a generator do? A generator can power all the things in your life that need electricity. You know, when the power goes out, if you have a generator, you can still get power to your microwave. You can still get power to the lights in your bathroom. You can still get power to your television. You can still get power to your hair dryer, right? You can still get power to all sorts of different things when the generator's going. But see, the generator can't work by itself. The generator has to have fuel. And the fuel, see, that's what faith can do. Faith is like a generator. Faith can send power to your finances. Faith can send power to your children. Faith can send power to your body. Faith can send power to your job. The provision that you need, right? Faith can reach all those areas, but it needs fuel to run. And the fuel that your faith is going to always run on is love. That's why Paul was saying, and if there's anybody that needed faith in this life with what he faced, because he had to pave the roads for us to walk into the revelation that we have. You don't think, I mean, we talk about opposition from the devil when we're about to do good things. Well, can you imagine the opposition? Well, we know, we've read the opposition that he faced. I mean, Paul went through a list of being beaten, being shipwrecked, being stoned, you know, being left for dead, naked and cold. And well, the reason was, is not because God had forsaken him, was because the devil was on high gear. He put things into high gear. Why? Because it was the beginning. All these things were getting out there. The road was getting paved. And so Paul went through hell on earth. Well, he had to, and he's the one that wrote the shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So if anybody knew that you needed to have faith, it was Paul. Amen. And Paul said, listen, me, who's doing all these wonderful things for the kingdom of God and defeating the devil and taking territory for God, he's saying, I can't do it without my faith, and my faith won't work without my love walk. Amen. So it's important, and here's the thing about this, is every single day you are going to be tested in this area. Why? Because you're dealing with human beings. And the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And what I mean by that is the devil, sometimes our problems seem to be people, but it's really the spirit behind the person.
That's right.
The devil will either possess people, or people will allow him to influence them. And you know, they'll cause you problems. They'll give you headaches. They'll stir things up. Coworkers, family members, spouses, you name it. You know, people, road rage. I mean, all these different things. The devil works in people to try to pull you out. Why? The devil knows what he can't penetrate.
Yeah, that's good.
He can't penetrate the shield of faith.
That's right.
He knows that the only way the shield of faith stays up is if there's fuel holding that thing up. Well, he knows, hey, if I can cause their life to be tough, I can stir up things in their marriage, I can stir up things in their home, I can stir up things at their job. If I can get them to step out of love by influencing other people to do so, or whatever reason, if I can get them to step out of love, I can get them to lower their shield.
Wow.
It's true. And so it's something that needs to be talked about a lot, actually more than we do talk about it, because it's something that every day we have to be mindful of and guard it. Go to 1 John 4 and verse 16. I want to show you a verse here, 1 John 4 and verse 16. We got to have our faith working, and it won't work without, you know, a generator's awesome. And you get a big generator and they come hook it up and say, oh man, yeah, you won't lose anything. You know, you still watch your TV show, still see when you go to the bathroom, you know, all these good things. But you got to put the fuel in it. Faith is awesome, but without the fuel, it doesn't run. 1 John 4 and verse 16 says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He's love. Amen?
Yes, amen.
God's not against you.
Right.
God's not against you. He's for you. God's never your problem. The devil will tell you that God's your problem. The devil will tell you God's not listening. Listen, when my children are going through something and they talk to me and my son says something to me or talks to me, you know, it wouldn't be loving to just ignore him. He's crying and going through things and just turn my ear to him and walk away. Well, that's what people think God's doing. God's not that way. He said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'm always there hearing you and wanting to bless you. And so God is love. And it says this, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So another reason why it's so important to stay and guard our love walk, because that's where God is.
Yes, amen.
God is not outside the boundaries of love, because he is love. He doesn't step outside of himself into something else. He is love all the time. So you could say it this way, and this is why it's dangerous. One step out of love is one step out of God. You take a step out of love, you take a step out of God. He's your answer. He's your help. He's your provision. He's your supply. And so it's important that we stay in love and that we guard it to make sure that our location of our spiritual life is in love. Praise God. So today, aren't you glad you're in the right place? I'm going to give you tips to stay in love. That every day you can take this message and it'll bless you. Lord put some specific things on my spirit, and I'm going to give you tips to stay in love. Now, before I get to the four things that God, when I was praying about this, I got four things in my heart, and it seemed as though those are the four areas where people are tempted to trip up and slip up the most when it comes to love. And so he's given us things through the Word to help us with that today. But before I get to that, hallelujah, before I get to that, I want to give you two, insider trading secrets, insider tips. You know, I used to play video games when I was younger. I loved them when I was younger, you know, and there was one game called Contra, and you were a guy who had a gun, and you went and had all these different rounds, and when you started the game, they only gave you three lives. Well, it's pretty much, for me, impossible to solve that whole game with three lives. You know, they'd kill me before the end. But there was a secret code. And it was up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A, B-A, start. I still remember that. And it gave you like 30 lives. And you could beat the game. And so I'm going to give you insider tip here. Before I give you the four things, I want to give you, see, in the game they gave you three lives. Well, I could just give you the four tips, but I want to give you something to put you over to be able to pass the test. Amen. I want to give you something to put you over to pass the test. Because it's like this, you know, when I hang a tree stand, you go into an area, and if you have a lick of sense about what deer do, you know where you want to put a stand and things like that, and you hang a stand. Well, when you hang a stand, that's great, and that gets you in the ball game. But when you're archery hunting, arrows don't go through brush. Arrows can get deflected by limbs, and so when you hang a tree stand, not only do you have to hang a stand, but you also have to cut the limbs. You have to trim lanes is what they call it. So when a deer steps into it, you shoot, and your arrow doesn't get deflected and make a bad shot or miss completely. And so these are like the tips that the four are the hanging the stand, but this is going to be trimming the lane so you can make your spot, make your shot. Amen. So here we go. Because the things that I'm going to tell you to do are doable. But they're a lot more doable and a lot easier to do if you'll have these things in place first. And they're very simple. This is basic foundational stuff. But you know what I found? That's what people need. You know how I know that's how people meet? And don't take this the wrong way. But the ministers who are out in front preaching the gospel, they need the simple things too. And if the ministers need it who are out leading the sheep, how much more would the sheep need the simple stuff? That's not demeaning. I know this, that when Pastor Michael has his meetings with all the ministers of Family Church, he'll have us and he'll preach a message and then we'll go eat and fellowship. His messages are so basic, and I'll be sitting there thinking, my goodness, I can't eat this fast enough. There's so much I need, so much I got to check up on. So it's the simple things, and really all the Word is really simple. People have made it hard. So these are simple. So are you ready for the two insider tips that will help you with the four things we're going to mention that will help you to stay successful? Again, don't think this is not important. You better learn to stay located in your love walk. Because here's what happens. When you step out of love, unfortunately, a siren doesn't go off and say, your shield's down, your shield's down, your shield's down. So you might not even recognize it at times. That's why it's important that we get this stuff. Praise God. So anyways, number one, go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Insider tips of how to do the four that will help you stay in love. Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Number one insider tip that will help you to walk this out and to stay in love is spend much time in the Word of God. Spend much time around the Word of God. Spend much time saturating and being watered by the Word of God. Amen. Notice what Jesus said. It is written that man shall not live. That word live is the word Zoe. It's the same word live that's found in John 10 and verse 10. That's Jesus said, I've come to give you life, or Zoe, which means the God kind of life. You know, God desires that you would live like him on the earth, the way that he's living in heaven. He wants his children living here on earth. He wants his kids blessed. He wants his kids well. He wants his kids prosperous. He wants his kids emotionally and mentally okay. Well, Jesus said, man will not truly live abundantly by bread alone, but it is possible by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's saying abundant life is possible through the saturation or the feeding on the word of God. Now understand this. To receive and to walk into abundant life, to walk into health, prosperity, and all those things, we have to get it by faith.
That's right.
Well, you can't have faith without love. So to live fully would mean that if you're actually living fully, it would mean you're using your faith.
Yeah.
But if you're using your faith and it's working, that also means that you're walking in love, because you can't have one without the other. So he's saying here that if you want to stay in love, which powers your faith, which enables you to walk and live abundantly, the abundant life, he said you're going to have the word be a major part in your life. And I love it. We've talked about this before, but I don't think people get it, because if they truly got it, there would truly be a change. He likens the word to food.
Yeah, come on.
But think about how we go about food. Brother Hagin would say it this way. We give our bodies 3 hot meals a day and our spirit 1 cold snack a week. Well, that's not going to get the job done. In fact, if we all stayed after church and y'all made something wonderful and we filled our bellies to the full and we couldn't eat anymore, but then we said, you know what? We're not having Wednesday service this week, so let's not eat again until next Sunday after church. I'll tell you what, that Sunday service, there'd be a lot of agitated people, a lot of grumpy people, a lot of weak people. People probably wouldn't be as sweet out in the foyer. People would be checking their watch even more. Get this over with. We need to eat. We need to eat. We're starving.
Yeah.
People might not even be here because maybe they got sick. Maybe they got lightheaded and got dizzy. Why? They didn't eat.
Right.
But that's what you're doing to your spirit.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. Come on.
And that's what I mean. Like, get a revelation of this. You are victorious out of this man, the inward man. You don't rule and reign out of the outward man. In fact, the carnal man, Paul said, no good thing dwells in me. He's talking about his flesh. The flesh has to be submitted to God, and the mind has to be renewed. It's the spirit man where victory comes. It's the spirit man where we live out of faith. It's the spirit man where we live strong and hear from heaven and get our direction. Well, the problem is our spirit man is so puny at times that we can't hear it. He's just trying to tell us the way, trying to lead us, but he's so weak because we've sown and sown and sown into the natural man, into the mental arena, and we've given no time to our spirit man. And Jesus said, you can't live that way.
That's right.
You can exist, but you can't live that way. And there's a lot of Christians who are just existing. Why exist when you can live?
Amen.
Why just exist and just get by when you can live? Well, a lot of that comes from time spent in the Word. Why? Faith cometh by hearing the word. The more word, the more faith, the more victory, the more your love walk will be easy. So just, I remember hearing about Smith Wigglesworth, a mighty man of faith, many miracle signs and wonders in his ministry, apostle of faith. Every time he would eat a natural meal, he'd have a little pocket tester. They say he'd pull it out, and he said, okay, I just fed my natural man, time to feed my spirit man. Well, he had a revelation. He wasn't trying to be religious. He wasn't trying to be puffed up and spiritually prideful. He had a revelation that, hey, my spiritual man needs to be fed just as much as my natural man. I don't know about you, but there's not many days that this guy goes without eating. Anybody can say you're with me? I mean, come on now. Praise God. Right? We make sure to take care of eating, because we understand when we feel the symptoms when we don't. Amen?
Amen?
And you can tell when people have not been snacking on the word. You can tell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's obvious, you know. I sometimes people will maybe they'll be down, their faith level will go real low, or they'll start griping and complaining and maybe getting worried and in fear. And one of the first questions I'll ask people is, how much word have you been around? Like, what's your word time been? And I know for me, if my word time isn't up there, I start to get agitated. I start to get more doubt and unbelieving. I start to get more complaining, and my love walk starts to struggle. Amen?
Amen?
So spend much time in the word. And then number 2, go with me to Luke chapter 18.
Go ahead.
Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. So this is the insider tip. Number one, spend time in the Word. That ought to be a normal thing for a Christian.
Amen.
To eat the Word of God. Hallelujah. You say, well, what is that way? You say, the Bible doesn't really make sense to me. Let me help you with people that say that. First of all, I give you a grocery list every Sunday and Wednesday night.
That's right.
What do I mean by that? I give you a whole list and verses and things that you can take home and feed on. We have messages on live stream. There's tons of YouTube sermons you can get of Brother Hagin and Pastor Nancy. You know, you don't have to just sit down and read the Bible. You could read a book where it's kind of put in a nice organized way for you. That's getting the Word. You can listen to a message. That's hearing and feeding on the Word. You can be driving in your car and putting something on your MP3 player, your iPhone, and listening. And that's hearing the Word and feeding on the Word, right? Praise God. You can just let it playing in your home. That's getting the Word. Find a way to feed on the Word. Say, I'm not much of a reader. Well, then just be a listener.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, Jesus didn't say, man shall live by just reading the Bible.
Yeah.
No, just feeding on the Word. Well, there's many different ways you can feed on the Word. Just make sure you're feeding on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 18 and verse 1 says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Notice the relationship there. Pray, don't faint. Don't pray, faint. Well, what is prayer? Prayer is simply just spending time in the presence of the Father. You can't spend time in the presence of God and not be changed.
Right.
I'm talking, I don't mean, you know, your 1 minute prayer before you go to bed. I don't mean your 30 second prayer over your meal. I'm talking about, and again, I'm not talking hours either. I'm talking about time where you say, you know what, I'm turning my phone off, turning the TV off, turning all the ways to get a hold of me off. And I don't even care if it's just 5 minutes. 5 minutes of quality time with God can be really good. Where you're just focused on Him, right? You can't be in the presence of God truly seeking His face and not come out of that changed. You can't. Moses was in his presence and he came out and everybody saw it. Well, a lot of times people aren't spending time in the presence of God. They're in the presence of a lot of natural things. And Jesus said, listen, if you're not in the presence of God, there's going to be fainting in your life. Well, go with me. What I want to talk about this morning real fast about this is go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. So what are we talking about? Guarding our love walk. Well, these four things that I'm going to tell you about are a lot easier to do. Just like that game was a lot easier to pass with all those lives, it's a lot easier to stay in love if you're first making sure you're staying in the Word and making sure you're in prayer. What do I mean by that? Well, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4, before I read this verse, I do want to just mention a verse in verse 18 of the same chapter. Paul said this, he said, I thank my God. Now remember, we're talking about a man who had already told us the importance of love. We know that his faith had to work. He was opposed everywhere he went by the enemy. He needed a shield of faith more than anybody. He said in verse 18 of the same chapter, he said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. What was he doing? He was putting an emphasis on praying in tongues. And you might say, well, I don't know much about praying in tongues. Well, don't stay in the ignorant category. There's no reason to be ignorant in this church. Because you have a pastor that will help you to get out of the ignorant class. We have things online. We have books that we can give you. But Paul, for a man that did more for Jesus, to say, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all, it all ought to wake everybody up to say, there must be something to this speaking in tongues if this man put such emphasis on it that that's what he was doing the most in his life. Paul mostly was not praying in natural English. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all combined. That means he would have to be praying in tongues all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. There was times of prayer in English. But times of prayer in English, you can only go so far in your natural mind. You can only go so far in your natural language. But tongues, you can pray and pray and pray. The Spirit will keep giving you utterance. Well, in our mind, we only know so many certain things. So anyways, he said that. Well, then look at one of the reasons why he would say that in verse 4. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth, that word means to rise higher and higher, to build up, edifieth himself. Paul says that when you pray in tongues, now can you see why Jesus said, men ought always to pray, the result will be they won't faint. Why? Because when they're praying, they're edifying themselves, they're building themselves up, and they're not getting knocked over. They're not fainting. They're not getting left on the sidelines. He said, men ought always to pray. Well, Paul said this, I thank my God speaking tongues more than y'all. What's he saying? I thank my God I'm more edified than anybody here. And so anything the devil throws at me, I'm just going to keep going through it.
That's right.
Because I'm not going to faint, praise God. So, number one, spend much time in the Word. Number two, spend much time praying in other tongues.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not my job to build you up.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, I have a role in that, but that's the main way. Because here's the way I look at it.
Come on.
To build you up. You know, all I'm doing is, I'm only around you in comparison to your week and in how many hours. A very short time. It'd be like if I was your personal chef. And we came here on Wednesday night at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10 for me to make you a gourmet meal. Okay, that's great when you're here, but what are you going to do Sunday night for food? What are you going to do Monday morning for food? What are you going to do Monday evening when your chef's not there? Are you just going to wait till Wednesday? What happens if we don't have a Wednesday service? So that's my point is, when it comes to the building yourself up, you can't only rely on the church service and the pastor to do it, because the amount of time I'm with you is so small. The majority of it's going to be a personal responsibility to make sure you're doing this on your own and edifying yourself up. Praise God. Go to Jude 20. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, so Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. But you, beloved, everybody say me. This is on you. Now he says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves. If you're not built up and you're agitated and you're not walking in love and the devil's running you over and you're griping and moaning and groaning and complaining and agitated and upset, that is your problem. You have not built yourself up. He says, building up yourselves, Jude, verse 20. Praise the Lord. I want to wait till we get to verse. There we go. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. What's praying in the Holy Ghost? Praying in tongues.
Yes. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me debunk some religious myths for you. You do not have to be on your knees with candles lit, hands in the air, so much that the fat under your arms starts shaking because your arms are getting tired.
Yeah.
You can be in the shower building yourself up. You can be in your car building yourself up. You can be ironing the clothes, building yourself up. You can be feeding the baby, building yourself up. You can be at your desk at work, quietly under your breath, building yourself up. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the times when we can get on our face in private with God. But he didn't say, he that speaks in an unknown tongue when he's on his knees and all alone and the candles are lit and he changes his voice to this.
Yeah.
No. Just do it. Just do it, praise God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you build yourself up? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why do things bother some people more than others? They're just not built up. Just not built up. Why are you know, the Bible says that love is not touchy. Love is not fretful or resentful. Why are some people, you ever been around people that's like walking on eggshells around them because you don't dare say anything? Don't say this. You might send them to the moon or something. I mean, they'll go crazy. Why? They're just not built up.
That's right.
But then other people, it's like water off a duck's back. More built up. Praise God.
Right.
But I want you to see in verse 20 says, praying in the Holy Ghost. But notice, there's no period at the end of the word ghost. It's a comma. That means it continues. Verse 21, one translation says, keeping yourselves. What are we talking about? Staying in love. Guarding it. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. What does the love of God do? Keeps the fuel in the faith generator.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praying in tongues. And I remember I had a cousin who was about ready to quit, give up, you know, real agitated, doubt and unbelief. And I said to her, I said, what is your prayer and word time been like? And she said, Pastor Mike, it's been pretty much non-existent. I said, I know, I can tell. Praise God. What if we, and this is what I told her, her mom had kidney problems, she was going through dialysis. I said, is dialysis optional for your mom? No. What happens if your mom doesn't take it or do the treatments? She can get really sick and potentially die. I said, what if the word was true and Jesus said you can't live without the word? And what if he said, you will faint without praying and spending time in his presence? What if we actually believe that, and instead we made the prayer and word time like a Christian ought to be engaging in to keep themselves going? Listen, prayer and word time doesn't change him. It changes you.
Amen.
You need to know that because then you won't go to it with a religious mindset. He loves you as much as he's ever going to love you, whether you pray or don't pray, whether you read the Bible or don't read the Bible. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. And so I said, what if you made prayer and word time like dialysis is to your mom? I said, do you think that Jesus thought that the word was optional? Is food optional? Well, then why would food for your spirit man be optional? I said, what if we looked at it like it was dialysis?
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean, Pastor Mike? Well, does your mom always feel like doing it? Is it always convenient for your mom to do it? Absolutely not. I said, but if she doesn't, she struggles. I said, it might not always be convenient for you. It might not always feel like doing it. But you know what? When you don't, you're struggling. And you're struggling, I told her. She said, oh, that's good. I said, I know. The Holy Ghost gave it to me.
Yeah,
pat him on the back, not me. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. So, now, let's get into these things real quick. It won't take long. Actually, last night was one of my quickest messages ever, so we'll be out of here in no time. But we're talking about praying and being in the Word to build yourself up to help you to stay in love. Now, before we get to these things, real quick, look at Colossians 3:14. Hopefully you walk out of here a doer of the Word and you say, Pastor, I am going to adjust my life in a way, and again, we're not talking about you have to change everything, but when people say they don't have time, you have time for what you want to have time for. You make time to eat, right? Sometimes you might not be able to because you're busy, and that's understandable, but you don't go that way for the length of time. You feel it. Your body suffers for it. And so I'm talking about just making it a chunk out of your day to take inventory of your life and say, my spirit man needs this. I better stay in love. And I'm not going to be able to stay in love if I'm not built up. But Colossians 3:14, so let's say you walk out and say, I'm making adjustments. Or you're already in it and you say, I'm going to keep going with this. Because I'm not here saying nobody's doing this. I don't want you to think that. I hope everybody's doing that. But usually, with the law of averages and percentages of what the Word says, most people aren't doing it, is what the Word says to us. So let's hope that's different in this church. But even if you walk out, say, I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to get around the Word. The four things that I'm going to share with you are still choices. You still have to make up your mind to do these things. Now, you'll be helped. Your spiritual shelves will be stocked. And you'll be able to pull things down that you need a lot easier when they're stocked. But you still have to make a choice. You know, I can go to the store, and what I need can be on the shelf, and I can still walk out with what I need without what I needed,
right,
even though it was there for me. I can still do that.
Yeah.
Well, people still do that, still a choice. But Colossians 3:14 says this, and above all these things, he's putting emphasis on it, put on love, put on love, put on love. It is the bond of perfectness or perfectness. He said, above everything else, make sure you put on love. Now, I always think of love as like a tree stand harness. What's a tree stand harness do? Keeps you safe. Now, I don't always feel like putting a tree stand harness on because sometimes they're uncomfortable, especially when you're wearing a lot of clothes and maybe you have a binocular strap around you or you have your backpack strap around you or just different things, a grunt tube around your neck. And if you don't know what a grunt tube is, that makes a deer noise. Like it makes what it sound like a deer sound like in the woods. You have different things around your neck, maybe your rangefinder. And man, that stuff begins to weigh up and that safety harness is not as comfortable to pull back the bow sometimes. But you know what? You put it on anyways because if you don't, you could really get hurt. I had an uncle who about 6 or 7 years ago on Thanksgiving fell out of a tree stand 20 feet. He should be dead, should actually not be able to move in his life, but God healed him. On Thanksgiving, I was in Pennsylvania. And a way different opposite side of where Erie is, and got a call that this happened. They had to star flight him or whatever they did for Erie in a helicopter out to there. And they called me and asked me to come out. And so Thanksgiving turkey dinner got interrupted that year and went out there, spoke healing over the family, and spoke faith to the family, and laid hands on him. And God did everything we said for him. He's fine now. Praise God. Faith works. It matters who you're connected to.
That's right.
I mean, I'm talking about people in your own life. They're going to benefit from being connected to you. It's true. Praise God. And so, anyways, he didn't have a harness on. Well, he had fallen asleep. I believe what happened, he didn't take his medication that morning and didn't eat breakfast, and so he was lightheaded, and the last thing he remembers is just passing out, and he's at the bottom of a tree, and they're flying a helicopter in on his property. Well, that's dangerous. Now, if he'd have had a harness on, he'd have fell, and then he just would have swung back and forth. And he'd have had to yell for help, you know, and that would have been a lot better than the help he was yelling for unconsciously. Amen? Amen? And so that's what I say about love is the great thing about this love and what we're going to talk about is they're not feelings. Yeah. If you wait to do these things to feel like doing them, you might be waiting a long time. Because the love walk was never the God kind of love. Well, look at how God displayed. A new commandment I give you that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did Jesus love us? He gave his life unconditionally when we didn't deserve it. And when it didn't feel good, he did it anyways because love required it.
Thank you, Lord.
Love required it. And sometimes love is going to require you going above and beyond what your feelings
Amen.
Will tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise his name. So we're going to, now again, we need to be careful not balance this out because there are times love does not require you to be a doormat.
Come on.
Now there are times, and that's where following the Holy Ghost comes into play because there's sometimes you got to make a move, you got to do things, don't misunderstand me. And there are times that you'll have to be more patient. But it doesn't mean you be in a doormat and let people treat you like garbage either. Amen? And we'll talk about a little bit about that. But anyways, so this verse is your love harness. You put love on because Jesus said to put it on. Okay, so four things. Here we go. Praise God. Are you ready?
Yes.
Actually, I think there's three things. I must have messed up here. Go to Mark 11, 23. Now, when I say make up your mind, that means from this point forward, whenever you encounter this, and again, it'll be easier if you're in the Word and praying, but whenever you encounter these things, you've already made up your mind, you're going to make a covenant with yourself this morning to do this no matter what. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. Hallelujah. Number one, are you ready?
Amen.
Let me get this turned up here. Praise God. Mark 11, verse 23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith in his heart shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." So what does the Bible say? That you can have whatsoever you say.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. I'm going to hold your place there for a second. Go to 1 John 2 and verse 5. I knew that there was a fourth one that I wanted to, and the Spirit of God just brought that up in my heart, and I was looking through my notes. Because it just seemed that we need to hit this here. Make up your mind to do this. 1 John 2 and verse 5. 1 John 2 and verse 5. Number one, make up your mind. If you want to stay in love, number one, be quick to repent.
Yeah,
always.
So
be quick to repent. When you miss it, when you step outside of God, remember, one step out of love is a step out of God.
Right.
Be quick to repent. Again, it'll be way easier. Actually, the times that you have to repent will go way down if you're spending time in the Word and prayer. But when you do miss it, even when you miss it in those times, be quick to repent. 1 John 2 and verse 5 says this, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Do you see that there? So what is sin and missing it? It's just not doing the Word, right? All sin is when you don't do the Word. Well, when you don't do the Word, be quick to repent. Why? When you don't do the Word, the Bible says you've stepped out of love. When you step out of love, your faith now is running on fumes and your shield's going down. Yeah. Be quick to repent. So make up your mind. When I miss it, I'm going to be quick to get right back in. Amen? Aren't you glad he's that faithful?
Yeah.
Number two is found in Mark 11, 23. Told you it wouldn't take long. Mark 11, 23. Be quick to repent. Number two, be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Now, verse 23, I just told you, said you'll have what you say. Verse 24 says you can have what you pray. Well, those are the two best verses Jesus ever used concerning faith. He told us how to change our world with those verses. He said our words can change, our faith can change our world. Praise God. But after the end, at verse 25, that first word in verse 25 says and. That means that not only can you have what you say and have what you pray, but there's something else connected to the having what you say and in praying working. And when you stand praying, well, when you stand praying, that's the saying in the praying and believing. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught, that means anything. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Praise God. So Jesus said, your faith will not work if you are in unforgiveness. Well, God is love and God's a forgiving God. So we know that stepping into unforgiveness is stepping out of love anyways. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And let's look at verse 5. And can we pull that up in the Amplified, please? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Now, we got to think about forgiveness the way God thinks about forgiveness. Because the Bible says, be imitators of him. Now, we're going to look at the end there. So, Josh, I'm going to have to go to the next verse in a second. But look, we'll go to here. Go back for it real quick. Thank you. It says, first of all, notice it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down, which is second to last line there. It says, love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. If you're touchy and getting angry over little things, your love walk's suffering. But what I want you to see is love takes no account of the evil done to it. The next part says it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. No account. Well, what did I say? Make up your mind to be quick to forgive. When you're quick to forgive, that means you don't even have time to make an account. What's an account of everything they've done? Holding it over here so someday it's payday for them. No, that's not how love acts. That's not how love does things. Love is quick to forgive and take no account.
That's right.
Now, let's balance that out. Because love and forgiveness does not mean trust.
Come on.
Does not mean you have to trust. Does not mean you have to buddy-buddy with somebody. It might even mean that you, the Lord might even direct you to separate from people. You know, not all Christians are good to be around. You know, not all associations are good for you. Amen? But what it does mean is that those people that have wronged you, no longer can you stew about that. No longer can you sit and, if you see them, treat them according to how they treated you. Which, if they were wrong and wronged you, you can't talk about them behind their back anymore. Why? There's no account of an evil done to it. No, don't pay attention to a suffered wrong. And when the devil brings it back to you, well, what about what they did? You say, no, 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 I forgave that debt. It's over with.
Amen.
You answer the devil's thoughts. That's walking in forgiveness. And again, thank God forgiveness isn't a feeling.
Amen.
It's a choice. Jesus isn't about you having to get an ooey-gooey, ushy-gushy, mushy feeling before you act. In fact, he said, love your enemies. Well, you tell me when you're going to feel like doing that. I'm never going to feel like doing that.
Right.
He said, pray for those who use you and persecute you. Bless those that are bad to you, right? You'll never feel like doing that, but love will do it.
Amen.
Love will do it. Pays no attention. So, again, being in the Word and prayer will help you do these things, but be quick to repent, but be quick to forgive.
Amen.
Jesus is so quick to forgive you. The first one should show you that. It said, be quick to repent. Well, as soon as you repent, Jesus said, okay, it's over. Come on back, come on back. Now again, even with Jesus, he might not be able to use you right away because he's got to build up some faithfulness and trust. Same with other people. You know, sometimes people are so, I'll say it this way, the old saying is, and it usually comes down with family members or close friends, that blood is thicker than water. That's garbage. Blood is thicker than common sense. Sometimes what people do in the name of family and friends is absolutely asinine.
That's right.
Was I allowed to say that in church? I just thought of that after I said that. That's appropriate, isn't it? If it wasn't, forgive my language, but it got the point across.
Amen.
Nobody has Pastor Michael on speed dial, right? But it's stupidity.
Right.
Sometimes the things people do and trusting people and letting people just, it's like, wait a second, did you lose your brain?
Come on.
Well, they're my family. I don't care. In fact,
right.
If we would start looking at family, listen, I'm all for family, and I'm not saying, and I believe we ought to be there for one another, but not to the detriment of ourselves, not to the detriment of other people.
Yeah.
Jesus said this about family. They said, oh, your mothers and brothers and sisters. He said, no, no, no. My brothers, my mothers, my sisters, my family are the ones that do the will of God. He didn't get this American culture of family first above everything. No, no, no. I'm all about family, not telling you to forsake your family, but there are times people do things and it's just not right, and it causes them to suffer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did I swear? Is that even a swear word? Did I swear? Sandy's saying no, and Sandy would not lie to me. She's a sweet lady. Okay, well, Jeff, we pay Jeff to say that, so. Praise God. I'm up here just having this conversation in my head thinking, is this my last sermon ever? Am I done? Praise God. Quick to repent, quick to forgive. Now, you ready for number three?
Yes.
Never, and I'm going to explain some things I've never explained it this way before, never allow yourself to become offended. Make up your mind right now that no matter what is, and I don't just mean the preaching or the personal counsel with a pastor. I'm talking in life. Never allow yourself to become offended. I'll show you why. Go to Proverbs 18 and verse 19. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've been here before. It's an awful place to be. It is an awful place to be. I've been in this place. I've been in this place before where I've had these feelings towards people that were trying to help me and loved me. You know, you can't just pick and choose when you want to agree with the Bible.
Come on.
And that's what people do. A lot of people will shout amen to me until I go and get something personal in their life and say, what you're doing is not right. Well, why aren't you shouting amen, Pastor? I love the word then. It's because you got offended.
Right.
It's because they allowed themselves to get offended. Yeah. See, when the word comes up and gets up under your chin, how much do you love the word then? It's easy when pastor's speaking in generalities and everybody's shouting, amen, amen. It's when a pastor comes to you directly or one-on-one says, this is a little off here.
Yeah.
We got Bible on this and your life is struggling and it gets up under you. Are you, amen, thank you for my help, or are you, who do you think you are? Don't allow yourself to get offended. And here's why, I'll tell you. It says in Proverbs 18, 19, it says, a brother offended. Now notice this. Is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like, what are they like? Bars of a castle. What are bars of a castle? Strong. He said that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Here's the problem, and I've been there. The word is what wins us over. When somebody gets into offense, it says, the Bible says they become like a strong city. What does a strong city have? High walls. A castle has bars around it. What? To keep things from penetrating or coming in. When somebody enters into offense, I know because I've been there. I'm speaking by experience and telling on myself. It's like a different spirit comes over you. It's like I can look at myself as an offended person, and when I'm not offended, and they're two different people. I mean, you just get so angry at the smallest things, and you're constantly going over what you want to say to people, what you wish you could. I mean, you're having these conversations with yourself that you'll never have with anybody else, but you're giving them the what for in your mind, right? You're just going over it and over what I'd like to do, what I'd like to say. It's like, seriously, it's like something comes over you. You become like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I've been there. Oh, it's horrible. I hate it. Well, the Bible says, harder to be won than a strong city. Well, then when people try to help you and try to get things into you, I mean, I've had people that have praised me up and down for changing their life. I've had people sitting across from me bawling their eyes out and being thankful and then yelling at me and won't listen to me because they're so offended. I can't win them back. So they're like a strong, they've chose to enter into offense. They've become harder to win than a strong city. They've become like the bars on a castle. No matter what I say to them, doesn't get through to them. So what I'm saying is when you get yourself into offense, you've put yourself in a danger zone because the very things that need to come into you to help you, you've put up walls. Never allow yourself to be offended. From this point on, who cares if someone walks up to you? I mean, I remember one time I got done singing in worship at the Japestown Church. I walked off the platform to give somebody a hug, said hi to them, and they said, Pastor Mike, that sounded awful. And then the next time another person said to me, Pastor Mike, and people say, why is he always talking bad about his singing? Well, why do you think? This is what people are saying to me. I walked off to somebody and they said, oh, those songs you picked today, they chased the anointing right out the back door of the church. That's what they said to me. I said, that's so good to see you. But you know what? If you can get offended at that stuff. Maybe someone wasn't as loving. Maybe somebody didn't compliment you. Maybe somebody said something to you a certain way. Maybe you were told to do something. See, when you decide to not be touchy or fretful, who cares how they said it to me? Who cares that my boss... Listen, let me get out of soapbox. The Spirit of God is opening a door to that. Listen, your boss does not need to compliment you. Your boss does not need to pat you on the back. You are there doing a service for your boss, and he's paying you to do the service. Yeah. He's not paying you to compliment you.
That's right.
He's not paying. Now, it's nice when that happens.
Yeah.
Listen, when you're serving in the church, well, Pastor, I've been cleaning this church, and he's never one time sent me a thank you card. You're not cleaning for me.
Right.
You're cleaning for the King.
Amen.
He appreciates it, and I do too, but I might not get around to everybody. But listen, your boss and at work and stuff, well, he doesn't appreciate me. It's not his job to appreciate you. It's his job to pay you. When he stops paying you, then complain.
That's right. Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
If you'd stop looking for that stuff, that wouldn't bother you so much. See, I've started a new thing in my life. I just don't have much expectations for people to say the right things to me. So then when they don't, well, that's what I expected. I mean, I'm not talking around walking around being negative. You can get into being a negative Nelly. But I mean, stop looking for people to be your picker-upper and your lifter-upper. No. Jesus is my picker-upper.
That's right.
Amen. And don't get me wrong. We're all human. It's nice to hear good things. Man, I appreciate it when someone gives me a card and there's kind words in it or someone after the service. That does something. We're still human. But man, you can't let your life be ruled in a certain direction if you don't get those things. Your boss's job is to pay you. And just you do a good job and God will promote you. God will promote you. Say, my boss doesn't ever notice me. He doesn't have to. God does.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But don't become a strong city, like a strong city where no one can say anything to you. It's scary. Some of the. It got to the point so bad that my two best friends, Pastor Tim and Reverend Randy, they went to my pastor and said, we're done with him. We're done. Why? They had tried so much. I had so many walls, couldn't get to him. Now, thank God my pastor said, don't give up on him. Hallelujah. You know, and I don't blame them for what they said. They should have. But it got so bad where I wouldn't listen to anything. I mean, it get to be like where my pastor, who's got anointing on his life, would speak to me, and I'd almost eye roll at the guy. Why? My walls were so built up. But now, I've just made up my mind. I don't care how he says it to me. I don't care what people say to me in the church. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not getting offended. Water off a duck's back. I know how dangerous it is. Jesus said, blessed are those that aren't offended. I know the danger of being an offense, right? So just avoid it. Just avoid it. Praise God. And last but not least, so be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive. Never allow yourself to become offended. And again, these things are easier with prayer and word time. The fourth thing, avoid strife. Now here comes the next line, at all costs. Avoid strife at all costs. Go to James 3 and verse 16. Avoid strife at all costs. These are what the Spirit of God put on my heart, so that's where we're going. It says, where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Well, who's behind evil works? The devil. When you choose to enter into strife, now I'm going to give you some balance with this because you might say, but what do I do when people are doing this way and there's things I have to deal with? There's word on that, and we'll get to that. But when you choose to take the route of strife, you know, sometimes confrontation isn't taking the route of strife. Sometimes confrontation is needed. Amen?
Amen.
Confrontation at times is needed. But when you are choosing to just get into strife in the back and to put people down, and just because, you know, you're just not, you know, there's some people, you look at their lives, and it just seems like they're not happy unless there's chaos. Unless they're stirring up some sort of trouble, saying this about somebody, you know, getting offended and mad about this to stir up strife. If you're a strife stirrer-upper, the Bible says basically what strife is it's an invitation to the devil. What's the devil's invite? Strife. Because where strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. When you choose to enter into strife with somebody, you are opening the door and saying, devil, come on into my life. I want you in here. Now, to balance that out, Romans 12 in verse 18, because there's a balance to this.
Amen.
If it be possible, sometimes it's not. If it be possible, Romans 12 and verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, or is he saying, as much as you can control, as much as you can control, Romans 12, 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Your job is to do your part to live peacefully with everybody. If they won't have it and they want nothing to do with it, that's not your fault. But Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Right? Be the person that extends, what is it, the olive branch? Is that what they, that extends the olive branch. Be the person that extends the gratitude and the heart of compassion and forgiveness. And be the person that says, hey, I don't know how we got here. And be the person that might even say, you know what? I know I probably had a role in doing this. Even if you didn't, be humble and say, but let's make this right. If they refuse to make it right, that's not on you. If they refuse to do the right thing, that's not on you. If they refuse to stop talking bad and stirring up strife, you can't do it. But as much as lies in you, you live peacefully with all men. Don't you be the one that's stirring the strife drink. Amen? You be the peacemaker. In your home, in your job, in your family, you be the peacemaker. If they want nothing to do with it, now again, if there are things that need to be addressed, people are wronging you, wronging your family, and there's things, and you have a green light, I need to address this. That's not stirring up strife. Stirring up strife is when you start talking to everybody and their brother about it. Right. Yeah. Amen? If there's confrontation, isn't strife, but you can also confront in love too. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
But as much as it's possible with you, be in peace with everybody. So, to wrap this up, spend much time in prayer and word. Make up your mind. Let's all make up our mind right now. I'm going to make a covenant with myself. I'm going to be quick to repent. I'm going to be quick to forgive. I'm never going to allow myself to be offended ever. And I'm never going to be this one that stirs the strife drink. No matter what. If you just make up your mind, when those things come, you say, oh, I've already made up my mind. I can't do those things. Why? It'll take you out of love, which will take you out of faith, which will take you out of victory. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us this morning. We are grateful and thankful for your mercy and your goodness. You are so wonderful. So kind and so compassionate. You are so loving and so great to us. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. And Father, I'm sure we've all been guilty of, if not all of these at one point or another in our life, but we just choose to not live that way. Our life is too important, depends on it. Our faith depends on it. Our families depend on it. So Father, we'll guard our love walk and make sure we keep ourselves there. Whatever we have to do, we'll do it. So, Father, I thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Lord, you're so loving to love us when we were undeserving. And, Lord, you know, we were born perfect in the sense that, you know, all children and babies and things, they're alive unto you, the Bible says. And, of course, if their life ended without receiving Jesus, they'd go right to heaven. But Lord, there comes a point in our lives when we go against your ways. We go against the word, where we talk against the word, where we live a life against the word. We do things with our eyes that we should. We do things with our hands, our mouths, and our money and different things like that, where we go against the Bible and we miss it. But Father, you gave us Jesus for our misses. Hallelujah. Jesus covers all the times that we ever stepped out of doing it your way. When we got to that age where we were accountable for our right and wrong, and we started to do things wrong, you stepped in with Jesus and said, it's okay, I got a plan for that. I got a plan for that sin. It's called my son's blood. So we thank you for the blood of Jesus. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, if you're here today and you can say, you know what? I've missed it. I have not been perfect since I was a child. I have gone against the commandments and ways of God. And, if I were to die today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. But the Bible says if you receive the precious blood of Jesus, the gift of righteousness that will cleanse you, he said that you will go to heaven when you die. It's not about what you do, it's about what he did. So if you're here today or listening by live stream, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, you could say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want to start a new relationship. I want a new way in my life. Well, first of all, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. But if you're here and you can say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I've been a good person. I've gone to church a few times, but, you know, I really am not. I wouldn't want to stake my life on and bank my life on the fact that I would go there. I don't know. Well, you can know because Jesus said if you believe on him, you'll never perish. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, you won't stand up, you won't come forward or say anything. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning and know for sure that you're his child and going to heaven, would you just lift your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus? Anybody at all? Nobody's looking around. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your boldness. We're not here to embarrass anybody. Anybody else? Well, Father, I saw two hands. Now, it's important for people to know that once you accept Jesus into your heart, he'll never leave. And even if you miss it from here going forward, all you have to do is repent. You never have to ask him in again. He's coming in. He's already going to make up a home. Right? When we invite him in, he said, I'm coming, I'm staying. So the last thing you have to do, you made a declaration by raising your hand that you want to receive Jesus, but you have to invite him in. That's what the Bible says, with your mouth. And now we're going to all pray a prayer together, and this prayer is going to be inviting Jesus into your life. So if you raised your hand, it's important that you say this with all of us and mean it with all your heart. If you're listening by live stream, join in with us. But for those of you that raised your hand, along with everybody in the church, say this after me. Say, Dear Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross.
For my sin.
I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart.
Thank you
for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. Well, we have homework. If you prayed that for the first time, get in a Bible teaching church. I'll tell you, this is just the beginning. God has more for you. Don't forget, we have goodies down in the old sanctuary. We'd love for you to go down there. And if you need a book of the month and we're out, let me know. No Wednesday service. Have an awesome Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving Day, God takes the commandment of gluttony away. He says, go after it. I mean, so much so that like they're rolling you to the couch. Amen? Have a good week. We'll see you all next Sunday. Love you. Be blessed. Mm-hmm.